Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you again today, thanking you for the opportunity of broadcasting on this radio station in Jesus' name. You're in tune with the Overcomer Broadcast. My name's Brother Stair. I want to talk today about God's next move or the next great event in the this nation or in this country or around the world in reference to the church. May I say, first of all, that I do not believe that the next great event of the church is going to be the rapture. Now, I do believe in a rapture. I want to tell you that much. Now, a lot of people, they write me and they say, you don't believe in a rapture? Yes, I believe in the word rapture. I know it's not mentioned in the Bible. I know, my friend, that it is a word that describes an event in the Scriptures. I'm not an ignorant man. I understand that. And I know the references to it in the Apostle Paul writing there that the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And of course, there are so many things in that verse of Scripture that would open up your eyes if somebody would just preach it to you right. But I believe in the rapture. I do want to say also that I believe that the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ are the self-same thing. I have been trying for years to figure out where these theologians, these Greek readers, these Hebrew readers, these so-called students of the Bible have ever got to the place where they can teach that the coming of Christ is a facet coming, where he's going to come for his saints and then come back with his saints. Jesus never said it. Paul never taught it. The Bible never substantiates it. And it ain't nothing but a fallacy that is being used today to hoodwink the majority of the Christians in America to sit back on their little old church membership or whatever they call their born-again experience to say, I'm going to be gone when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. And I want to say this in all sincerity, my friend. I do know the teachings that some teach the rapture will take place before the tribulation, which is the major teaching that's going on today in most of the nominal churches, such as the Assembly and the Church of God and the Pentecost, the Holiness, and most of the Baptists. Of course, the Catholics, I don't know if they even believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And most of the modernistic churches like the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Episcopal, I'm not sure whether they believe anymore in the coming of Christ. I'm not even sure if they believe that he came the first time. I think they just have accepted Christianity as a philosophical religion like the Muslims or the Buddhists or the Shintoism. You know, when you hear men like that guy up there, Norman Vincent Peale, tell you he can go into a Shinto temple and feel the presence of God, then you know he's not too much convinced that there's a difference between Christianity and Shintoism, because I can tell you right now, if he felt the presence of God in a Shinto temple, it was not the presence of an almighty God. It might be the presence of the God of this world. And for you to think that the false religions do not have a spirit of their own, then you are badly mistaken, because the Bible says in the last days, men would depart from the faith and they would give heed to seducing spirits, and their doctrine would be of devils. And so don't let nobody fool you, my friend. The world today has a spirit of religion upon it, but it's not true religion, it's not Bible religion, it's not scripture religion, and it's not the religion and the faith of Almighty God that was practiced by Paul or Peter or preached by Jesus or is being practiced today by the remnant, the true body of Christ in these last days. So I do not believe that the next great event upon the face of the earth is going to be the rapture of the church. No, I don't believe, my friend, airplanes are going to fly out of the sky and trains are going to quit running. I believe, my friend, that by the time Jesus comes, there may not be any airplanes flying in the sky or trains running or automobiles going upon the face of the earth. If you would recall, Jesus said there would be a time of tribulation such as was not, of destruction and chaos around the earth, upon the face of the earth, my friend, until he said, except those days be shortened, there wouldn't even be anybody saved. So you see, my ladies and my friend, that you're going to find out that there is going to be some things taking place before the coming of Jesus Christ, and they are just about ready to happen in your day and in your hour. I believe that God's next move in America and around the world is to prepare the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, for the coming of Jesus. Yes, I believe that with all of my heart. Over here in the book of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, and it says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Do you understand? The bride of Christ is going to be dressed in righteousness. It's not going to be, my friend, clothing as you know it. The Bible makes it very clear that the wedding gown that the bride of Christ is going to wear is going to be her righteousness. She's going to have right standing with God. And it's because she has this right standing with God through the shed blood of Jesus and obedience to the Word of God and walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. She will be presented a righteous bride, a righteous church, hallelujah, without spot, without wrinkle. Glory be to God. So I believe the next move is to prepare all true born again Christians for the coming of Jesus Christ. And may I say to you in all truth and in all understanding today that I am firmly convinced that the church in America and around the world is not ready, does not meet the criteria for the pure church that Jesus said He was going to come back to receive. And so therefore there has to be and there will be a process, a time of purification. You say, Brother Stair, I believe I'm already pure. I believe I've been washed in the blood and I'm free from sin. Yes, you may be freed by the forgiveness of God of inbred sin, my friend, or of the sin of your flesh, of your heart. But the Bible tells us that we should cleanse ourselves. You see, cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. And most people today have thrown holy living out the door, holy lifestyles out the door. The Christians in America live like the world, look like the world, dress like the world. I can't hardly believe. I just can't hardly believe. You can't hardly go anywhere downtown in the stores and then even into the churches without finding these so-called Christian women running around with their hair bobbed off like a man, their face powdered and painted up, decked out with jewelry like Christmas trees. And then my friend, walking around with pants on, looking like men, acting like men, say, I'm as good as any man. Even in the church today, the women are trying to take the place of men. The Bible says in the last days, women would rule over us, and children would become our oppressors. And they have been taught by their leaders to error. This is not the way God ordained it. God is going to have to get this church back in order. Hallelujah. And my friend, the order is God and man, then woman, and then children. That's God's order. And above all, His order is going to include holiness and righteousness and contentment. The scriptures say the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that by denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see what He says? He says if you're looking for that hope, if you're looking for the coming of Christ, He says then the thing that you need to do is allow the grace of God to teach you how to live righteous, soberly, godly as you look for that hope, because as many as look for Him shall He appear without sin unto salvation. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And we do not know that what he shall appear, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Oh, hallelujah. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who hath this hope of seeing him and being in his presence must understand that none but the righteous, no unclean thing will walk in his presence. You're gonna have to be pure from this world. The Bible said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and then I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. So my friend, the church in America is going to have to be prepared, and around the world, for the coming of Jesus Christ. Are we full of righteousness today? Are we walking in the Spirit, overcoming sin? Or are we that church triumphant, that victorious body of believers who will be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We won't bow. We won't give in. Or like Daniel, who will not defile himself with the king's meat. Oh, my friend, are we a covetous group of people? Full of divorcing, depressed on every side, worldly minded, full of rebellion, grasping for materialism and success, all competitive, churches and preachers working against each other, lukewarm, permissiveness, idolatrous, immoral. We're seeking after riches. We're increased with the material goods of this life. But all the while we are naked. In the sight of God we stand bare before him. Not clothed in his righteousness, because we love unrighteousness. Oh, yes, my friends, I'm not trying to condemn, but I'm trying to bring conviction upon you. The Bible said, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will convince the world of sin. That's right. He'll convict the world whenever the Holy Spirit moves, like he's moving on this broadcast. His purpose is the first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to convince you of sin. Oh, Paul said, who convinces me of sin? I was alive without the commandment. I was doing all right. But then God's law came, and God showed me I was a sinner. Oh, he said, it slew me. And sin will still do the same in your life today. And the Holy Spirit comes to convince you of what's right or what's wrong, what's sin and what's not sin. And he comes to teach you how to live righteous. And the Bible said the next thing the Holy Spirit does, he will convince you of sin and then of righteousness. He'll convince you that you must live righteous, because now you have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Now you are free from the law of sin and death. You're not bound by the law of the old nature anymore. You are free, hallelujah, to serve the true and the living God and walk before him and honor and glorify him in these last and evil days. Then the Bible tells us in that verse of scripture that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness. But here's one thing that most people don't want to be convinced of, and that is judgment. Judgment to come. The Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day of judgment. Oh, he said, every man is going to have to stand before or in the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to have to give an account of the deeds done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. So my friend, I believe with all of my heart that we are going to have to see something take place in this country and around the world to bring the Christians out of the world system. The power of the world system has extinguished our light. In this past generation, we have become guilty of measuring spiritual progress by what we know and not by how we live. That is why in recent years the world has begun to say, God is dead. No longer does the fruit of our Christian living bear witness that we are overcome the influence of the world, and that we are suffering many of the same problems and difficulties that the world suffers, because we're living their kind of a lifestyle, though loving the things they love and seeking the things they seek and pursuing the things they're pursuing at the expense of spiritual drought and nakedness in our soul. Oh, God help us. How many churches are you, when you attend today, are you aware of the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you walked into a church and you felt like you were on holy ground? Oh, I think about old Moses walking across the backside of the desert, saw that old burning bush and said to himself, I'll turn aside and see what's going on. This bush has been burning now for 3 days. It's not being consumed. Something supernatural about it. And as he started to walk toward that bush, he was being invited by the Spirit of God to come into God's presence. That's what it was doing. It caught his attention. Hallelujah. And he turned aside and he started to walk into the presence of that burning bush, and a voice thundered out of heaven saying, take off your shoes, those defiled shoes, he said, because you are now standing on the holy ground. When the last time, ladies and gentlemen, you have felt the awesome presence of a holy God, you have been standing in his presence, he said over here, in one place that have broken in a contrite spirit, he will not despise. Where have you gone lately where believers are so awed and reverent that they even gather in God's presence in holy silence, where no one dares to be flippant or silly, and where the singing is so filled with Christ's presence that sinners begin to weep? Where have you been lately where the backslider and the wicked sinner become so miserable they run to an altar or out the door, and where the preacher is anointed to preach God's word until his face shines and his words are aflame with the power of conviction as it grips the lives and the hearts of men and women? How many Christians do you know who live in glorious victory over the power of their inner selfish, sinful nature that only comes from spending much time in the presence of God? Oh, how many Christians do you know, my friend, who are excited and disturbed? So much about the times we're living in that with anticipation they're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, one of the tragic things today, when you stand before an audience across America of so-called Bible-believing, Christ-serving Christians, and you say to them, Jesus is coming, their faces get long, fear grips their heart, they're not sure that they're ready. They're so wrapped up even at this Christmas season and this New Year season, so wrapped up in the earthly thing that if Christ would come, he would catch them unaware. He said, watch and pray always that you may not be caught unaware with that snapping trap that's going to come upon the face of the whole world and cause men and women everywhere to lose their soul and end up in a hellfire burning with brimstone and torment throughout the endless ages of eternity. God have mercy. God have mercy on you. Your preachers are soothing you. They're lollygagging you to sleep, my friend. And my voice, along with some other men, such as Brother Ray Pringle and David Terrell and David Wilkerson and even this pastor from Freedom Village, Brother Church and Final Call down there in the Central Florida areas, and other preachers that I know are raising their voice saying, God is a holy God. Go to have a holy people living a holy life, going to a holy heaven, walking the highway of holiness. Oh, glory to God. Help us, Jesus. Where are those today? Where are those today who look so joyfully for the coming of Christ that they have, my friend, have come out from among the world? Where are those Christians? We in this last day generation of Christians are like Paul spoke of there in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5. Yes, my friend, we're guilty of the mixture of sin, mixing with the world. You look what he says in 2 Timothy 3. He said that they would have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. They would separate themselves from the world. We want to mix with the world and its standards. We just do not want to be different. God said, come out from among them. He wasn't just talking about the religious system, and most of you haven't done that. Some of you say you got the Holy Ghost, and you still go back to your Catholic church and pray to your saints and cry Hail Mary. There's not a Holy Ghost anywhere in the Bible who would ever allow you to do that. And if you do it, you are getting very close to blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And you'll find no place of repentance if you continue to do that idolatrous thing that insults the integrity of God. The Bible says that God hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name above every name, and that's above Mary. Do you understand that? That's above Peter. That's above Paul. A name above every name, at the name of Jesus, not at the name or the statue of Peter or Thomas or Mary. Should anybody bow? But at the name of Jesus shall every knee bow and every tongue confess. And if you try to do it any other way, you have made God a liar, you have blasphemed him, and you will pay the price of idolatrous living. And my friend, I'm telling you in all sincerity, in the name of Jesus, you better stop it. Some of you folk belong to these damnable churches that won't teach holiness. Women running around looking like men. Men looking like women. Won't separate yourself. He said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Some of you are so wrapped up in the economic system. I received a letter just the other day from a lady. She said, Brother Stan, I'm so deeply in debt. You know why? You know why she was in debt? Her husband had some heart attacks. And of course, you know, when you have a heart attack, you've got to go to the hospital. That's the way the world tells you. And if you don't go, brother, they're all over your back. But the old boy didn't make it no how. Things didn't turn out too well. And now they've got bills. Bills, bills, bills. Oh, yes, they went and got that worldly help. The man's not any better. He's just about barely getting by. And now he's got this worry of all these hospitals. Bills. She said then she had the credit card and she put a lot on the credit card and now the credit card's to its limit. And of course these fine people are now coming down heavy in bondage to the system. Don't you know that Jesus can heal? Don't you know that God can make a way for you? You don't live after this world system. He said if you're sick, He said, if you're suffering sickness, He says, if you've committed sin, I'll heal you and I'll forgive you if you'll come the prescribed way. He told you how to get well. He said, the just shall live by faith. He said, oh, no man anything. Be content with such things as you have. Quit seeking the things of the world. But that's not the way you Christians are doing it. No, you're using the credit system. You're using the monetary system. You're using the medical system. You're using the economic system. You're using the fashion system. You're following after the course of this world, and you are being brought into bondage when you can be free if you'll come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Live righteous and holy and do the will of God. He said, I will be your God. Hallelujah. And you shall be my people. Well, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the anointing of God. Yes, my friend, the word mixture, it means to combine or blend into one mass so that individual characteristics are gone. It is the intermingling of two elements causing them to lose their separate uniqueness and take on a new singular character. And that's about what's happened to the church today. You can't tell the church from the world or the world from the church. And one of these great medias that's causing this today, my friend, and this intermingling and this unique difference which we live is the mingling of the church with the world. That's right. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people. Deuteronomy 7:6. Moses knew there was only one thing that made them special or different from all other people on earth. It was not because they were in themselves worthy or holy. It was because the presence of God revealed in their midst. They alone had the actual presence of an Almighty God. Don't you know the Bible says you're not your own? You are the temple of God. God dwells in you. Do you hear me today? But you want to look like the world, mingle like the world, live after the world. There is positive proof that God's people, if they serve Him, are a different kind of people. take away His presence and there's no difference in your life from the rest of the world. That's what we mean when we talk about Christians walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. God walks in us. God warns the church, even as He warned Israel, that mixing with the world would cause him to withdraw His presence. And He would reject them as the special channel of His revelation. Look at 2 Kings 17. 2 Kings 17. I want you to turn with me, please. 2 Kings 17 and 18. Chapter 17 and verse 18 of 2 Kings. I'm turning to it real quick. Excuse me. As I take the time to turn my King James Holy Bible, hallelujah, to the 17th chapter of 2 Kings and verse 18. And God says, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and He removed them out of His sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah. And Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hands of spoilers, until He cast them out of His sight. I'm going to pick up, my friend, in just a few days, and you keep listening to this broadcast, and we're going to talk about what America's doing, that God has rejected this nation. From our president right on down to our television ministries and most of our denominational churches, God has wrought Ichabod on the wall. You have been weighed in the balance. You have not balanced the scales. America, church, Christians, so-called in this country, you have embarrassed God. You have forced Him to justly bring about a time of judgment such as the world will never witness again. Ladies and gentlemen, judgment is beginning at the house of God. Any group of people that boast that they are spirit-filled, but there's no overwhelming presence of Christ and victory over sin at work in their midst, they are just like anyone else. Satan's modern day scheme is to deceive people to think they are right with God when they're living in sin and living after the flesh. God warns us there is no need for any of us to seek counselors or spiritual advisors or prophets to find out why we're having so much trouble. They knew what their trouble was. They knew it just as sure as there was a God in heaven. They had walked away from God. Yes, they had disobeyed Him. They had chosen to live after the people around them when God said, don't mingle, don't be like them, don't do like them. Still, they walked in their own willful way. And God, my friend, said, I'll remove you out of my sight. Jeremiah chapter 5. Get your Bible, the old King James Version again. Turning back to Jeremiah. Chapter 5, oh, the prophet Jeremiah, what a price he paid to cry out against the sins of the people of God of his day. And what a price you pay today to cry out against the sins. Thus saith the Lord, he says, in 22nd verse of chapter 5 of Jeremiah. That's right, that's the one I got right here. And he says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. You're not afraid of me. You don't fear me. You don't think I'll do what I said I would do. Will you not tremble at my presence? God's speaking to his people. Listen to what he says. Oh, listen. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have ears and see not, and have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me. This is God talking now. Saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? Look how powerful, look at my word, I just spoke it, and the earth and the sea all keeps going according to my word. But this people, these people of mine, have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and they are gone. Neither say they in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap that catch men. As a cage is, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore are they become great and waxen rich. Yeah, that's about the way those television ministries have done. And that includes about every last one of them. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things? Do you think I'm going to let it go on forever, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in this land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do now as the end is approaching? So I believe that we are now moving into the time when judgment has already begun in the house of God. You are going to see the judgment of God against the great television ministries and the massive church ministries, my friend. Rex Humbert has already been eradicated and removed from the television media because I warned him and others warned him, and I'm sure that God warned him. He needed to preach repentance to this nation. God raised him up for that purpose and that purpose alone. Brother Jimmy Swaggart has been told several times by me and others that he must continue to, with urgency, warn this nation to repent and turn back to God. If he does not do it satisfactory to God's direction, then he soon will be no more. The churches, my friend, most of them have become so denominationalized that God has wrote Ichabod above the doors and hardly ever walks inside again because they have refused to hearken. Can you imagine people so wrapped up in their church denomination that they have no fellowship with other people? And if you do not belong to their denomination, they will not hardly even talk to you. It's almost an impossibility to get inside of a church with a denominational tag over it unless you have credentials from their headquarters or acceptance by their so-called leaders. There's only one church. And that church was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And there's only one Holy Spirit. And by that Spirit we have all been baptized into Christ. And you might as well understand this when I say this to you, my friend. That this sin of denominationalism that has been sprung up amongst the people of God in these last days come from nowhere but from the mother church, that Roman church that has committed adultery and committed spiritual fornication and has found ways to cause people to satisfy their spiritual quest without obeying the Word of God. And God is bringing judgment. It is beginning now. It is taking place now. And many of these ministries who have become money grabbers are going to feel the impact of an economic reverse that is going to remove the finances that has caused them to adhere to their greatness. And then they're going to find out that only those who have faith in God will survive in these last and evil days. Yes, my friend, I have told you before, and I'll tell you again, that the church is going to have to separate itself. It's going to have to be purified. It's going to have to be made white in these last days, and only the fires of tribulation will do it. Many people ask me the question, why do you believe the church is going through the tribulation? And then they'll write me and they'll say, well, you may go, but I ain't going to be here. Or do you think you're telling me I'm going through the tribulation? And you know my answer to that sometimes is, what makes you think God would even trust you to go through the tribulation? You remember the story in the Bible when the early church was being persecuted and they were being tried, and they were being martyred, and they were being slain, and they were being put in prison, and they would gather together, and they would rejoice, hallelujah, that they were counted worthy to suffer. Yes, the only ones that are going to endure the fires of tribulation and not be burnt, the only ones that are going to walk through the floods of tribulation and not be overwhelmed, are those who have been counted worthy. Hallelujah. It's going to take a qualification, my friend, to stand up and suffer for Christ's sake. But if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, that set my soul on fire. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to say something about our nation now. I've been preaching about the church, but you know there's so many people that calls America a God-blessed nation. We are a nation that has forgotten God. We are a nation that is doing more to provoke God than any nation in the world. And it begins with our president, our church leaders, our political leaders. You, many of you, God have mercy on your soul. The other day someone called me and told me about how Mr. Reagan, at one of his recent press conference, got out there and told the story of Christ's birth. Oh, how we'd like to think He's a babe in a manger and wise men are coming to see Him. But my friend, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know He's living. No matter what men say, He sits on the right hand of God. When they were stoning Stephen and he fell to the ground, he looked up and he said, "Oh, behold, I see heaven opened. And I see Jesus standing on the Father's right hand." While I still have religious freedom in this country to criticize if I have to, or to speak out against my political leaders, I'll still do it. Some countries, they probably would throw me in jail. And maybe in this country, it won't be long. They will put the screws to us. But let me tell you what Mr. Reagan's done. He has hoodwinked the fundamentalists and most of you common modernistic Christians to think he's a Christian. My friend, he is only a Christian in the modern sense of the term. When he was asked at the last political election if he was a born again Christian, he couldn't emphatically say yes. He didn't even know what it meant. I can tell you this. He has done more. Like King Ahab, he has done things to provoke God that's going to cause the wrath and the anger of God to fall on this nation. And I say to you, thus saith the Lord, before perhaps even Mr. Reagan's term is over, two of the things that he thought he was going to reverse will be the downfall of this nation. One of them is, we will suffer an economic collapse. We will see the American dollar become totally worthless. And all the things that we thought we were going to do in the strength and the might of the American economic system is going to be gone. And our military might will be left in shambles. Yes, my friend, left in shambles by the destruction of a nuclear holocaust that will shake this nation and bring it to her knees. But the price that we're going to have to pay is a terrible price. As our president came back from this most recent convention or summit meeting extolling the virtues of peace, my friend, a friend of mine wrote and had me read a 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 2. I wrote it down. It hit right on the mark. And I want to get it for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 2. You have your Bibles. You need to turn to it. You see here, my friend, God used a prophet in this day of Israel, just like He sending me today to speak out, and I'm speaking out against the authorities of our nation. I'm speaking out against the hypocrisy of this nation, my friend. And I want you to know, Mr. Reagan sat down with those Chinese communist leaders. Oh, they killed 30 some million Christians over the last 30 years, and he sat down with them, and he made an agreement with those Chinese people over there, those leaders who will eventually take the very things that we're putting in their hands and use them against us. They're going to do it. You can mark it down. And now he sits down with the communist leader of the Russians, and the military and the Russian political process, another nation, two of the biggest anti-God, atheistic, communistic nations and governments in the world. And our president sits down at the table trying to find a way to make peace and coexist in a world such as this. And I say to you, my friend, you're going to find out that God's not going to have it. Over in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, he said, "You and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink wherever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You must distinguish. You must make the difference between the holy and the profane, between the unclean and the clean. In Leviticus 20 and 26, you are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." That's what America used to claim. A Christian nation, a nation blessed of God, and no one can deny it. The greatness of America came because we were doing right. Righteousness exalted a nation. But sin is a reproach unto any people. We are a sinful nation. Billions of babies being aborted. Hundreds of thousands of homosexuals wandering our cities and our streets. Promiscuity is being propagated on television, in the media, and accepted by the church world. And hear me, my friend, God is very, very angry and soon to pour out His wrath upon this nation in uncontrollable vengeance and violence. Remember God's promise, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Let me read here now. See what Mr. Reagan did. Listen to me. He went over and sat down with these two communist leaders. In the meantime, coming back from China, he visited with the Pope. It wasn't long his wife visited with the Pope. It wasn't long, my friend, to the United States established diplomatic. Listen, diplomatic, how do you say, a diplomacy with the Pope. We have a Vatican from the Pope, the Church of Rome in Washington. And we have a United States representative in the Vatican representing our government. Oh, with a church that has by its own volition has persecuted through the Inquisition and through the Crusades, have persecuted Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians. Today, it teaches a damnable doctrine that robs men of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, the Bible said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus," and God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, above the name of Mary and Peter and Paul, above the name of even the Pope, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. No, I don't hate the Catholics. And don't you dare try to put that off on me. But I'll tell you, many of you are being led by a blind leader in the Protestant and Catholic religions. And you're going to fall into the ditch. You're going to fall into despair. Because God is going to bring that false church system down. Oh yeah, you'll flourish for a while. We know that's coming. And you'll again persecute the church. And you'll martyr the blood wash. And you'll take an issue against the righteous and holy living. But our God shall come from heaven and be revealed in heaven with flaming fire to take vengeance upon all of them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Reagan, Democrats, Republicans, Roman Catholic Church, Protestant denominations and daughters of that church, I'm an ambassador for heaven. I have immunity too. You'll touch me only when God allows you to touch me. And you'll only do what God allows you to do. Like it was with the Apostle Paul. when he suffered many things, and they asked him how. He said, none of these things move me. He said, the things that happened unto me happened for the furtherance of the gospel. So the people who represent the kingdom of heaven, we declare that we cannot tolerate, and our God will not tolerate, the human abuses, the immorality, and the ungodliness of this generation. And God Himself is going to soon set the record straight and bring to bear upon this world His divine judgment. Let me read 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. See, that would be Mr. Reagan, the president of the United States. He returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Came back to Washington from over there in Europe with that summit conference. And he was in peace. Everything going to be all right. And we all know that's not so. We all know. If you have any sense at all, you know that the Russians haven't changed their mind at all. Haven't done it. You need to write for the cassette, the Russian war plans for 1988. And it'll tell you about the secret attack that they have planned to sneak in on America while we are just going on our way in a time of ease and luxury. Write and ask for the Russian war plans. I'll send it to you by return mail. Now let me see here. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 verse 2. And Jeru, the son of Hanan, the seer or the prophet, went out to meet him. Went out to meet the king. And he said to him, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? What are you doing trying to walk hand in hand with atheism and communism? We ought to stand firm and declare with no uncertain terms that this nation is a nation under God. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You see, we've got a bunch of people now in our country that don't want to be under God. And so now we are becoming a divided nation. And there is not liberty, neither is there justice for all. But violence rages in our street. And honest, law-abiding citizens now have bars on their doors. Right here in the city of Charleston, South Carolina, a man blatantly committed a murder the other day. And then hung the man on a fence by his own necktie, almost defying the authorities to identify him. The rock music culture has crept into our society, to our radio stations are playing this diabolical music that is causing the corruption of our teenagers such as never has been done in the history of a nation. We have offered our sons and our daughters on the altar of Satan because we are seeking personal, selfish, greedy pleasure. And God says over here in 2 Chronicles 19 and 2, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? What are we doing as a people contributing to the ungodliness of this world? Why, almost every dictator in the world is being propped up by foreign aid from the United States government. In almost every nation around the world where there's a dictator and the people live in poverty and suffer under the oppression of diabolical leaders, most of them are kept there because we assist them with what we call foreign aid. We've seen this happen in Ethiopia recently as people were starving by the millions, and every one of us know that that starvation was not caused by the farming or agricultural situation. The situation was caused because the government oppressed their own people and would not supply them with the land nor the material to produce their food because they wanted to get rid of their enemies. Look what God says now. I want you to listen to it. I dare you to turn to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 verse 2. Shouldest thou help the ungodly? Love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. You hear it? The wrath of God, the judgments of God are soon to be poured out upon this nation like no other nation in the history of mankind. America, you are soon to witness the complete devastation of most of your major cities by a nuclear attack. And my friend, I say to you in all sincerity, in the name of God, prepare to meet Him. If you go on the blast, that will be wonderful. If you are right with God. Remember, after death comes judgment. And the Bible said there are some men whose sins go before them unto judgment, and others who follow after. But all will be judged. And you're going to be judged by that profound question that was asked by Pontius Pilate. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do about Jesus, which is called the Christ? Oh, you say He is Lord. And He said, in that day they will come saying, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in Thy name? Have we not healed the sick in Thy name? And He'll say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. For it's not every one that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father. My friend, my listening audience, this message has been burning in my soul for the past several days. I was waiting for the time to walk into this studio and proclaim this day of the coming move of God in America. He knows, my friend, that the only way Christians are going to be victorious is to have a separate life. The reasons for separation from walking in the ways of the world are the same today as in the past. God wants to draw a line between His people and this wicked age so that the unbeliever can know there is none like Him in all the earth to deliver them. God wants His people to be a holy people. Disobedient servants will not be able to stand against the attack of the devil, the moral landslide, the economic ruin, and the other chaotic conditions that are coming in this, the final years of this age. They will once and for all lose the touch of God. Though some may be saved, they will be counted unworthy of the anointing. If you are of this world, you are not of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? He said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. I have chosen you out of this world, and the world will hate you. Do you really understand what Jesus is saying to us? He's simply saying, I have put a difference between you and the world. They will hate you because of the presence of my character within you. That is true. Why are we trying to gain the approval of this world? Why do we mix their music with ours? Why do we seek their goodwill and their due pleasure? Why do we bend our morals to accommodate them? Why we, as God's chosen people, do we seek their applause or their blessings? We're not of this world. We ought to accept this difference and stand firm and tall. Pilgrims and strangers traveling through this world looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading again Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. If you have your Bibles, turn with me quickly to it as we read what the Apostle Paul writes here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. I want to get it if you don't mind. It just takes me a little time here, and it reads like this, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The Holy Spirit will soon be calling out, is now calling out true believers and followers of Jesus Christ, separating them, purging them, and getting them prepared as a special people to bring His glorious presence to shake the earth. We are to be called a crucified people. most of God's people today are guilty to some degree of mixing too much with the world. It must stop. Knowing you and I that we are living in the last days and expect the coming of Jesus Christ, God is preparing us as His church. Satan has caused us to become idolatrous. James chapter 4 and verse 4. How long has it been since you read this scripture verse in the book of James? Just tell me how long has it been, my friend, since you read, you idolaters and idolatresses. Know ye not. I thought you knew this. That to be a friend of the world, to have friendship with the world, to live like the world, to get along with the world, makes you an enemy of God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Did you hear that? Did you hear it, my friend? God have mercy on you. No man or woman of God will escape the purging. God will accomplish His task of getting all the worldly dross and filth out of us. He will expose all sin, all adultery, all foolishness. The Holy Ghost will reprove us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Though shaking, purging, purifying, and disciplining us, God is going to let the devil and the world know who has the power. It is important to allow the Lord to develop in us a heavenly vision of holiness and humility, that we not hold on to worldly visions or earthly things and be deceived by the powers of Satan. During the coming time of tribulation and testing, we will have a need to know the Lord in all of His fullness, with our eyes focused on only eternal things. I believe anyone who has experienced marriage can identify with anxiously awaiting for that day. A wedding is something that requires a great deal of planning and preparation. And it's going to be the same when Jesus comes. Yes, my friend, Satan has become an angel of light. He has deceived and tricked the church into an apostasy that is causing many to fall and flee from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that teaches men to live godly, holy, without sin. Anyone who does that, he is proud. He knows nothing. He dots about of questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. And they've gone so far that they suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. How many people do you know today that think that because they're driving a new car or they've got a nice home, that that means they have God's blessing? They suppose, they assume that this is a result of their godliness. My friends, the Bible says, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have pierced themselves through with many a sorrow. O man of God, flee those things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherewith thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession that thou keep this commandment without spot, so you'll be unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus.